made some.
Jeff, I'll have to have you start right over right there, can you? It didn't start recording right away.
Okay,
so
sure, no problem.
Take it there. Okay, thank you.
About a year and a half ago, Dr. John Ross became the province's, was appointed the province of Nova Scotia's first consultant on emergency care. He's an emergency room physician from Halifax here, and so he undertook this mission to study the emergency care system within the province, which also included emergency health services as well as all the district health authorities and the way the care is delivered. He submitted the report in about a 9 or 10 month window to government. They adopted the report and became known at that point as the Ross Report. They adopted it. It became known now as what's called Better Care Sooner, and that can be found. You can find that online if you just Google it. And it's kind of the architecture for what our future will look like within Nova Scotia, for the way healthcare services will be delivered within the future. So today, two of those programs that one of them we're well into, the other we are just about ready to embark on, which is next week. I'll talk about those two things. I guess the first program is what we call our ECP program, Extended Care Paramedic Program. You know, Nova Scotia's got about 1 million people in it. And in Halifax, which is our capital city in the Halifax Regional Municipality, close to 400,000 of that 1 million people within the province live here. So we're pretty big. We're a small province population-wise, but we cover a fairly significant, for Canada anyway, size of geography, of 52,000 square kilometers. And we do that with one communication center, which is in our headquarters here. Anyway, the opportunity with our ECP program, or Extended Care Paramedic Program, came because we were seeing, time and time again, a large number of our aging seniors from our major nursing homes being, you know, there was no menu of options available. They would call 911, and the nursing home would call 911, and we would go take them to the hospital, where they would sit in the ambulance offload on a very uncomfortable stretcher, you know, triaged as a 4 or mostly a 5, so which meant that, they're sick, but not sick enough that they are in an emergency, and they would sit for hours and hours and hours on end looking for treatment within the hospital. So we worked with government and rolled this program out, and it is a pilot project. It's like anything else we've been able to do here in the province. We usually are able to submit things in once we have the data and the evidence to support it, so we're building that now. But we started this program on about the 5th of February, 2011, in our capital city to look after patients within our largest nursing homes within the province, which are located here in the Halifax Regional Municipality. And to date, as of yesterday, we had done 344 calls. And this vehicle, or this paramedic, is an advanced care paramedic that we kind of handpicked. We put a competition out, and we tried to take kind of our cream of our crop, or our best paramedic. As you can imagine, this is about balancing people's expectations and reality, and that's what Better Care Sooner, the government's report, is really all about. People have a high expectation on what they believe they need to receive, but the reality of what we are able to offer as a province can be a bit different because of the financial restraint that everybody is finding themselves in. So we have to kind of change people's expectations. So in the nursing home, we package it to the major nursing home players. This was not an easy venture to do because you're talking about multiple partnerships, the EHS system, Emergency Health Services, us, partner up with Capital Health, the district health authority for the largest hospital network within the province, and with a number of private nursing homes. However, we were able to put this together, and on February 5th we began. And so we took, there's about 8 of these ECPs that we've trained within our system. They work half their time on an ambulance, and half their time they work on the ECP unit, which is a non-response capable four-wheel drive that we put them in. We want them outside of our system status plan so they can focus on the work that we need them to do. And they began, they work 9 to 9, 7 days a week, which kind of captures our peak demand hours for when we were going to these homes. And to date, we have done 344 calls since February 5th, of which we've been successfully have treated and released 242 people and not had to bring them to hospital. And the scope of practice, you know, we've done point of care testing with an INR machine, which we've trained our ECPs to use, as well as we've added suturing, and we're looking towards the future, towards things like antibiotics. So We've done 344 calls, out of which we've been able to treat and release 242 of these. There have been about 80 facilitated transfers that we've done. And what happens is if the patient, you know, we arrive there and it's all captured through our communication center. We're using the ProQA. We're heading for our fourth accreditation with our ProQA. So we're pretty comfortable with, and our medical director has a lot of faith in our ability to deliver service there. So we were fortunate enough to use the card 33, which I believe is the nursing home interfacility card and how we trigger the ECP response. These facilitated transfers there, so I'll give you a scenario. Call comes from a nursing home for a patient that's had a fall, no priority symptoms at all, and is deemed that it's appropriate for the ECP to go. The ECP goes to the nursing home, and they've got a radius, a catchment area probably of about, I'm trying to think how many square kilometers it'd be no further, you know, than a half an hour drive from any point where they would be okay with the word we're using. And they would arrive on scene and do an assessment. If the patient needed an X-ray, then they would treat the patient for what they needed to on scene and work with the EHS online physician. And there's a group network of physicians that we work with that will facilitate the transfer through the busiest emergency department within this concentrated area. And again, guys, this is just a pilot where we're starting here in the Halifax Region Municipality. So if the patient needs an X-ray and then needs an admission, rather than have them go to the eMERGE and sit on a stretcher and wait to be seen, it's all coordinated. So the X-ray is coordinated, the doctor signs the rec, the ambulance goes when there's a time that the system is not busy enough, not too busy that it can take the patient, and the ECP may actually go ahead and make the patient comfortable, you know, give them some morphine or some pain management while we're waiting for the ambulance to arrive. I'm happy that we've done these 242 treat and releases, and we haven't had to return once, which tells me that things seem to be working so far. This is, you know, we call it an ECP, but essentially it's an urban-based community paramedic. Where we started with this, why we started the nursing homes, is because we have this, you know, these poor people were being taken to the emergency department, of course, and we're staying there for hours on end. We have a significant ambulance offload problem within the Halifax Regional Municipality. I think, I'm just looking here, I think the average, even today, we're in around 126 minutes at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, 126 minutes at the 90th percentile for offload for our ambulances. So we had to come up with a way that we could, keeping in line with the government's report of better care sooner, we had to be able to provide better care sooner to people. And this was kind of one of those projects that we undertook. So we're just about ready to, we've built the framework, the evaluation framework, and we're starting to work with our system partners to provide evaluation of the program. But the intent is not to necessarily replicate it within the province. Because we have 62 communities that we have a presence in within the province, every community has a little bit different need, and so we need to be sensitive to that. So there may be another spot where we can put an ECP concept program in place, but it may not be replicated the same as what we've done in Halifax. We're keeping a very open mind that communities will have different needs based on the level of service that's available. So far we're happy about that. We are also looking for other things that our ECPs can do. So the average call length for us right now is about an hour and 5 minutes that we find ourselves on scene with our ECP. And they're doing a 12-hour shift a day. Some days it's like anything else in EMS, it's feast or famine. But there are some opportunities, some things that we are looking for that they can do. So we're looking to have them support the Halifax Regional Police in the cells, the lockup, where they'll do some med checks and some wellness checks on some individuals that are in there that normally may have to be taken to hospital. We're also in the process of partnering up with a mobile nurse that looks after a number of the homeless people. It's called MOSH, and it's an opportunity for us to partner our community paramedic up with those people as well. So each week as we go on, our ECPs are coming to us saying, here's some great opportunities for us to be involved as a part of a system, and we're just trying to navigate the politics around it so we can enable that and make that happen. Any questions on that program at all?
Jeff, we can open it up for questions here in a minute. Have you been able to show any, well, and I'm not sure if, I know in Nova Scotia your system's a little different, but what about the cost savings to the system? Have you been able to calculate that?
That's part of our evaluation framework, which is like anything else, and you guys all understand how it works. I guess we'll try to first understand the system benefit. There will be a cost benefit to this, but we have not...
The conference has been unmuted.
We will not. We have not actually nailed that down yet, but I mean, I guess look at it this way. 344 calls, 242 of them we didn't have to take these people to the hospital, and looking at our current system's data and telling you that we're 126 minutes at the 90th percentile, it would be significant. And it will wash out to be significant, and it's part of the evaluation framework. But again, we're just kind of letting the summer go by to get enough data, and then we'll start launching our evaluation.
Okay, great. We can now open it up to questions. So if you have a question for Jeff, please go ahead.
Jeff, Peter Rivera from Australia here. What sort of extra education and training have you had to provide to paramedics? And how's that training provided?
The extra training we did was we brought them in. We did some skills like suturing. But I'll tell you, Peter, we found a lot of things we didn't realize we were going to be involved with were things like end-of-life care issues. And so we've had to do a lot of focus on palliative care. And so we brought some specialized training in from Dalhousie University with some of the physicians and the physician network there, to help with some of our help our staff get a little bit better on that. But there's, and again, we're still pretty new. But the training program focused on a lot of geriatrics, obviously fractures, assessment of the elderly, and they were taught by gerontologists, geriatric nurses were part of the faculty that taught the program that we put together. And the program is very much an in-house program, as it was a pilot program. You know, perhaps in the future, if we end up with, you know, I say we're not going to replicate the program, but let's say that a community, our second largest community in the province is Sydney, Nova Scotia. That may be somewhere which is about 100,000 people. If we were able to come close to replication, it may be there. Maybe we need to, we may formalize the program in the future, but for now it's been done in-house. So some is skill-based and some are things like end-of-life care that were really, really palliative care, that were really, and there's a significant amount of continuing education that we're having our folks participate in as time goes on. So as we find things, we address it with the group and say, hey, look, here's an issue. We should take a look at this and go back and spend some time on this.
Thank you.
All right, any other questions?
Yes, Bob Gallagher from Out West there. I'm just kind of curious in terms of the, with all the education and training, or is there a shared funding model for this resource, or is this totally the EMS contribution, or is it depending on the outcome of the pilot before you get some additional support from some of these other agencies for providing some of this service?
That's a good question, Bob. For now, it's been the EHS system that's funded this program. We've got affiliate agreements with our major hospital for training, so we can go in and do the training we need to do. But it's been funded by us, and it's been our contribution towards providing better care to our seniors and to contributing to, kind of taking some of the reduction off the emergency department. But in the long run, I think once it gets beyond the pilot stage, it's going to be one of these programs that everybody's probably going to have to contribute to make it sustainable.
Thanks.
Again, we can only do that with that, the evidence. That's why we have to have that evaluation framework applied, so we can really prove, gut feeling being a director of operations, this program is working wonders for our system and more importantly, our patients, but I have to be able to prove that, and we need the paperwork behind that, so we're working on that now.
So I guess, so you're just developing your performance indicators, or are those already established?
They are being developed as we go. This program, just like I said at the start, when government went forward with Better Care Sooner, these were one of these hurry-up offenses. We needed to get this thing in place sooner than later, so get the program up and running. to start to make an impact so we can deliver service a little bit better. But the key performance indicators are being developed as the program rolls. It's not an ideal way that we'd like to do things, but it is the way that we're, you know, this is the conundrum we find ourselves in. So.
Build it and they will come, eh?
Sorry, Bob, what was that?
Build it and they'll come?
That's the intent, yeah. That's right. Perfect world, you'd like to have a program, you pull off a shelf, you take everybody in, you teach them, and then you roll out with a realistic start date, and away you go. This wasn't one of those opportunities for us. It was, you know, we talked about this, we should do this, this is a good thing to do, and all of a sudden somebody from government says, we agree, and then we're gone. You know, and we're very supportive, we're very thankful the government's that supportive. We're very, very fortunate that way. So, you know, like I say, we're only 24 weeks into this right now. But the data is, you know, it's piling up, and it looks pretty pleasing. We'll go back to the gentleman asked me about cost. I mean, inherently I know that this is a way cheaper model of delivering service. I'm feeling it already, even within our budget, within the HRM, but I need to be able to prove that and show it on a larger scale. I'm paying one paramedic to do two paramedics' jobs, right?
Jeff, this is Matt in North Carolina.
Hello.
Appreciate your comments. Just a fundamental question. Could you explain the different levels of paramedic, or as we like to call them, EMTs, in Nova Scotia, and then maybe how the ECT fits into that spectrum of provider?
Okay, I'll do my best here. So, and that's a good point. Nomenclature is a wonderful thing, isn't it? We have primary care paramedics in Nova Scotia, which I would equate to an EMT in the United States. I'm not 100% sure, but we have primary care paramedics, about a 10-month program. They go to school, they're just, and they'll start, they do some center relief, and they're about ready to practice starting IVs as part of the curriculum. We have some intermediate care paramedics, which are like the EMTIs in the States. There's only 80 of those out of our 1,100 staff. They were a program that was built back in the early 90s to bridge until there was an advanced care paramedic program, which is like the EMTPs. And their scope of practice are, you know, STEMI care. I'm just trying to think here, looking at a sheet. So their scope of practice is probably one of our broadest. Then we have the critical care paramedic, which works on our aircraft, our life flight aircraft, which have a little different skill set. Again, they're into paralytics and some of those, that type of pharmacology. And our ECP is a new level that we have created when we put this program together, which is an advanced care paramedic that we have in-house trained to. They don't wear a tag. They're not called a designation. And because we're just beginning to get into collective bargaining, they're not even compensated differently yet, but I suspect by the end of the bargaining they will be. Because they should be. Maybe they're doing a different job, but their skill set is a little bit broader than the ACP because they are doing things like sutures. Matt, I probably didn't do a great job of explaining that, but...
No, I think you hit it, and I appreciate that. But the fundamental point, I think, that it sounds like is that if it's the layperson, everybody's a paramedic.
In Nova Scotia, paramedic is applied universally across the spectrum. The only people that know different are the people who work in the system and what levels they are, okay? So to the general public, there's no difference to them between a PCP and an ACP. They have no idea, and we know, they don't know. It's paramedic for them.
I think that's a pretty powerful unification piece to point out.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hey, Jeff. Darren Sandbeck here in Calgary.
Hey.
Thanks for that presentation. One of the things that we're wrestling with and have been for some time is the triggers in MPDS, specifically card 33, is it, of when you would send this resource versus sending a more traditional EMS resource. Have you got any insight into that?
Sorry, Darren, I don't think I understand. So what we've done with our medical director is we've built an AMAGA out of card 33, and the AMAGA actually, it's a good question. We've taken card 33, with our medical director, have made an Omega out of it, and we send our ECP unit to it. Does that answer your question?
So,
if you like, I can say I don't have it here in front of me. I didn't have enough foresight today to grab that before I came in. But if you'd like, I guess like Chris, I could send it to you, and you could send it to everybody about the process that we use to do that. It's pretty universal.
Absolutely.
Would that help, Aaron, if I did that?
Yeah.
Rather than me try to bumble my way through it here with not having it in front of me, I'll get a copy of it and send it. That would be helpful. Do you guys use card 33 now yourselves?
We do, but in the traditional sense.
Okay. We have struggled with that card for a long time. ECP was our first opportunity, in my opinion, to get any mileage out of it.
Okay, thanks for that.
It's 6:30 at night here in Nova Scotia. There's not anybody in the building I can get to bring it to me, so I apologize.
What, you like home after 5:30 or something like that?
Yeah, I'm all alone here. It's kind of creepy. No, I'm kidding.
Well, now you can see all the dead bodies are buried. any other questions?
Yeah, so it is new for us guys. I don't have all the answers because it's kind of unfolding as we speak. But that is our extended care paramedic program. You know, governments, I guess, all over the place are full of a lot of good ideas and binders. We were just fortunate enough they took this one and ran with it. So here we are.
Excellent. So thank you, Jeff. I look forward to seeing how it progresses up there and start to see some of the data that comes out of your system. I think that'll be great.
Yeah, and I think there's some conference in October. Our people just been accepted to go present on this somewhere. It might be in Edmonton, I'm not sure. But anyway, so we're just, you know, by the time September rolls around, we'll be really comfortable with our data and about our data points and what's working well that we can really, maybe offer a little bit more than what I'm offering right now because it's still kind of unfolding as we go. But so far, so good. We've been pretty happy. You ready for me to talk about the other program? Because it hasn't started yet, but I've just fresh the last 3 hours. I've been working on it, so.
Sure, absolutely.
Give me 1 second.
Thank you. Go ahead, Gary.
The conference has been muted.
Okay?
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so the second program that we haven't actually started yet starts on the 27th of July, and as part of Better Care Sooner, and part of Dr. Ross's recommendations to government was to look at all the hospitals within the province. And as I, indicated to you folks, we have about just under 1 million people, and 400,000 of them live in our capital city. And that leaves a lot of places in the province where it's very rural, sub-rural in some places, but they have hospitals. And hospitals that were there a long time ago when things like factories and mines were active and the communities were vibrant. Well, that's not necessarily the case anymore. A lot of our rural communities have changed significantly as industry has disappeared over time, yet we're still offering, in some cases, 24/7 emergency departments, but yet people don't have any access to primary care to get in to see a physician. So one of the recommendations that Dr. Ross had made to government was you need to look at all these emergency departments across the province. Some of them you are struggling to keep open because you cannot attract physicians to. Others, you're staffing 24 hours a day, and a physician seeing one patient a night and getting paid $210 an hour to do that. So what's a better use of our resources? And the concept that they're going to do in this community called Parsbro is a little town on the Bay of Fundy in Cumberland County. Cumberland County has about 30,000 people that live in it, and this is just one area. But it has a hospital. It's called South Cumberland Community Care Center. And they struggled for years to keep the hospital open. Of course, politically, it was a big deal. However, they will become the first CEC, or Collaborative Emergency Center. And essentially what's going to happen is that they only saw one person a night. And out of that, there was probably, out of a whole year, they saw 340 people, I think this was what it worked out to be. And out of those 340 people a night, only 67 of them were even urgent. Four of them were emergency, and the rest were all non-urgent. And what would happen is that people would go to the hospital because they couldn't get into the physician. Now, odd as it is, I live 30 minutes outside of our capital city here, so just on the cusp of the urban area. And even myself, I called a little while ago to get into my own physician, and I was told 3 weeks. And this is why government's putting this change in place, 3 weeks before I could get an appointment to see my physician. So if I really need to see a doctor, what do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to end up in an emergency department. And that lack of access to primary care, or limited access to primary care, of course, plugs up our emergency departments. Our ambulances come in, they can't offload properly, and hence the problem we have in place here. So the first place they picked on in the province was Parsborough. And they went to the physicians, the government went to the physicians and said, we want the physicians and the nurse practitioners to work 7 days a week in collaboration, in a collaborative practice. There'll be a doc in the emergency department, 8:30 to 8:30, 7 days a week, and there'll be the clinic we want to run, which is in the backyard in another building. We'd like to have that open 7 days a week until 8:30 at night, so people have access to care, not only in business hours, but weekends and nights and evenings. But our nights and evenings, or evenings, sorry, at the hospital are not very busy. So what we'd like to do is keep the nurse that's there, and we'd like to put a paramedic to work in collaboration with the nurse for the night hours. Now, they're only going to see one patient, you know, in theory, one patient a night, but politically it's important to keep that hospital and keep those doors open because that was part of what the government's promise was to begin with, that they wouldn't close hospitals. So in this particular community, because it's a very large chunk of geography, although a low population, but it does have a summer population because it's along the coastline, we made a decision in collaboration with the District Health Authority that we would put a advanced care paramedic to work in collaboration with a registered nurse 8:30 at night till 8:30 in the morning, 7 days a week, and this will start on the 27th of July. Government's plans are to have that same system, and it will be the most, you know, close to being replicated in this case within the four other communities before the end of the fiscal year this year within the province. And this is it's another opportunity for our staff in the EHS system. Some places may not end up with an advanced care paramedic. It depends on where their proximity is to a regional center, what their data suggests based on how sick people they see. But in Parsborough, it actually made sense because of the amount of geography that we had in place to have an advanced care paramedic. The concept of being, maybe we can add things like sutures and antibiotics. And so this is kind of going to be the first kick at this thing. So it is unfolding as we speak. We spent about 3 hours today just taking a look over the curriculum that's going to be delivered. Now, the concept of it is our organization has bought into the Canadian Patient Safety Institute, six domains of patient safety. So one of the drums that we've been beating here is that it's important that the nurses and paramedics do this training for the CEC together. Of course, we want them to work in teams so they can, you know, take a look at those environmental factors of patient safety. The more they know what each other does, potentially the better outcome that they, you know, one of those 67 or one of those three or four sick patients will be, you know, how they'll be looked after they come through the door. Parsborough, as I said, is a very small community. The nurses in Parsborough really, although they work, the concept of the emergency department is acute care, very much is long-term because they don't have that many people coming through the doors, but they do have four or five long-term care beds. So it's important that the nurse understands the paramedic's role and the paramedic understands the nurse role. And where those two boxes of black and white come together, they all have to understand how the gray works. So they're going to do the training together, and the training starts this Thursday. So it's a new concept for us. And again, we've only started to build this program since the middle of April. So it is unfolding as well. So maybe there's a time we could come back later and talk about how this is going. But I suspect as soon as this one is done, within 4 to 5 weeks, we will be asked to participate and to get ready for another model. And I'm not sure where in the province that will be yet, but I'll know probably within the next few weeks what that will look like. Eventually, though, out of Nova Scotia's 26 hospitals, I am probably going to tell you that 11 or 12 of them within the next 3 or 4 years will probably operate at this level at night with a paramedic working in that model. It's not really a community paramedic because at this point the ask isn't for us to leave the facility, but to be at the facility. But there will be opportunities for us. Maybe in the future we could build on some of these things, but for now that's what it will look like. Any questions on that at all?
The conference has been unmuted.
All right, any questions for Jeff on that program? That sounds very interesting, and I'll be curious to see how that program works out as well.
It's been interesting so far because, I mean, really, we've had, and it's been a bit dicey. We have a lot of interest with unions, nurses union, College of Registered Nurses, kind of wondering, hey, what are these paramedics doing over here? The intent of this, though, is to have all clinicians practice to their full scope of practice. And that's kind of been our mantra. We're not about taking people's jobs away. What we're trying to do is have the nurse and the paramedic, the pharmacist, the lab tech, the physician, everybody should be working at full scope to benefit patients within the system.
Any questions?
How about say a prayer for us?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I hope that you'll send for us sometime next year after your program has been going about 6 months.
We're just getting out of the gate on this one. Like I say, we're a little more than a week away, I guess, before we get going. But we're very, very excited. It's an excellent opportunity for our staff and the system. I'm very confident that things will go well because we've worked with a very good team within the Department of Health and the Health Authority. So I went to a public meeting. I mean, you know, you think about the concept. You're not going to have the physician there at night. I wonder how that was going to go. The public wasn't worried at all. As a matter of fact, they were looking forward. They've had some good experiences with our staff. So this should be interesting to see how this rolls out. But again, I suspect if you want to call in 6 months, I'll probably tell you how this one's going and the other two that we're working on.
Great. Excellent. All right, Gary, if you will stop the recording and we'll talk about the IRCP conference if Moise is on.
Thank you. Please stand by.